This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 304 of the Countdown Podcast. I hope everyone has at least one satisfying bowel movement today. My name is Wayne.
Wayne, looking after your needs.
That's right, man.
My name is Paul. Punch Welcome it. To the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television. Today, television. What was I doing? Why did I open with that opener?
Why?
Because it's the TV episode. We're going to go with a Growing Pains opener.
Ah, don't worry about it.
Maybe we'll save everyone for my singing.
If everyone wants it, let us know. We'll throw it in.
Sometime. We'll throw it in randomly.
Somewhere.
On a movie Just episode.
Yeah, boom, here you go.
Welcome. It's great to have you here for episode 304. And today is a patron-selected episode. Top level of the patrons get to choose a podcast for us to do every once in a while. And today this one comes from Sai Wazow. Sai has picked for us the top 10 TV pilots.
Yeah.
Episodes of all time.
Pretty juicy, this one.
Great episode idea. Thank you very much, Sai. And thank you for your patience in terms of getting to this one. It is. This was hard, man.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, I'll just remember all my favorite shows. But you know what? Sometimes a great pilot doesn't necessarily mean a great show.
Correct.
So you didn't continue watching it, but you remember that pilot, yo. So it's a little bit of that.
My number one was With a Bullet and everything else. I was like, 2, 10, 9, 12.
Yeah, I know what your freaking number one is, I'm pretty sure. But anyway,
we'll
keep going. We'll keep going.
Better be on your list too.
Hey, we'll see, fire? Man. I don't know. Bitch, please.
Welcome to the soundboard as well.
Fuck a soundboard.
Always. All right, then. Without any further ado, let's get into it on the other side. Well, let's get into it in terms of the first segment proper, the recount.
Word.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
What did the internet have to say about our little show this week, Paul?
Well, we're coming off the top 10 films of 2020 and also our review of, well, WandaVision.
WandaVision.
You've copped some crap about that already. And
have I?
Given that it recently dropped like 20 minutes ago, basically, so at the time we're recording. I am amazed. That's mainly from the patrons.
Yeah. Okay.
People saying, go a bit hard there. Slow your roll. Jeff Hartley suggested you should do.
Really?
So if you want to hear what Wayne's thoughts were about the WandaVision first two episodes, you can now check that one out. But in terms of the top 10 films of 2020, then, here is some feedback. First of all, from Dan Brennick from the Netflix and Swill podcast. Good friend said, holy fuck, did you both make this hard? Your collective number one is correct, but you both have issues littered throughout your list. I guess I'll go Paul, since he stuck to the brief and didn't try to stack the ballot. Now, Wayne.
How did I stack the ballot exactly?
Because you picked a film from 2019's list that was also on your 2020 list.
Yeah.
So
I do recall, yes.
You do realize that is beyond even your normal penchant.
Absolutely.
For
it was a huge fuck up. Absolutely. No question about that. However, having said that, you people are a bunch of fucking elephants. How do you remember that? I couldn't possibly remember that. There you are. So
I'll give it to you in one word, Wayne.
Because you pointed it out, Contox.
Drugs.
And that. So, yes. My apologies, everyone. But hey, that's the kind of misadventure that you see on this show.
The other thing that you really got slammed for, and this is from Julio from the Contrarians podcast, Jon Snow on the Facebook community said, well, I'm less concerned about Uncut Gems being in Wayne's list twice than him for his lack of love for Palm Springs.
Yeah, a lot of you people love this thing, man. I mean,
I'm a huge Sorkin fan, but Chicago 7 has some serious issues. I still like it, but number two, come on.
So, absolutely number two, man. Absolutely number two, son. Don't you worry about it.
Double
really?
Okay. Joey DiCarlo from the So Is It podcast, who this week recorded our bonus episode, which will be coming out in very short order for the month of January, said, I have to pick Paul since he has three of my 2020 top five in his list, but Wayne picking the same movie 2 years in a row nearly swayed me. So there's a subset of people who like you cheating your ass off.
It's not cheating. It wasn't intentional. It was a mistake.
Yeah. Mario Leon exactly said, Wayne having Uncut Gems on his list is an automatic disqualification. Shame, Wayne.
Oh, yeah. Shame. Sure. Shame. Absolutely.
That said, Jonathan Kidd voted for you because simply forget Jute, and because Tenet is garbage, at least you had it lower. Which a sentiment which Adelaide Spence endorsed, hates Tenet with a fiery passion,
really?
So it went with you because you had it lower.
Yeah, you are. Well, at least it wasn't fucking, was it? Did I get over 10
you
votes?
Did. And okay, here good. Is the final votes then. 17 votes
17.
For you, Wayne.
Very
52
kind.
For me.
Yeah, landslide.
That is a spanking, which puts me up 2-0 on the year. A lot of weeks to go. I guess I'll take that. I honestly thought too many horror films.
No, man, you're kicking ass this year. Word.
And even the cousin vote / the Wayne voting block couldn't get you.
Not even close because it doesn't exist. There you are.
All right, that's it for very short recap this week. Let's get into it. This is going to be a big episode, I think. We had mountains of feedback from the listeners, so we'll save it for the pop 10, which will be pop like 18, probably, let's be honest. On the other side of this, music cue. The top 10 TV pilots of all time.
All time, you say.
Is the subject of this week's countdown. Again, with thanks to Sire, was our Wayne, was this a hard list, an easy list, a difficult list, a smooth list?
I spent an entire evening on it and the next morning.
I also was writing till just before we began recording today.
Because you remember, your penchant is to, like, first of all, like, oh, what are my favorite shows? And then you think, well, how was the pilot? Obviously, it was good enough to keep you watching, but was it the best? And then there's other shows which turn to shit. So who knows, right?
Admittedly, I don't think there's a single pilot on my list I loved and then fell off the show.
Oh, really? Plenty on mine.
All right. Interesting. Interesting. Can I give an honorable mention straight away?
Bring it.
And there's a little bit of a plug I will acknowledge. An honorable mention for me is The Leftovers. I think that pilot is very, very good. With thanks to Julio, again, for the
contrarians. A couple people had it on the list.
Yeah, and we might hear a little bit in the pop 10. Didn't make my list, but geez, it was a good first episode. The second episode, not so much. But the first episode is stellar television. So I would have given that pilot 90 and I gave the second episode 60. So my score reviewed for the patrons only.
Yeah, if you're interested.
Yeah, you can hit that check that out in link. Very short order. So yeah, I gave it sort of 75 for the first two episodes. But that first episode is amazing.
Cool. Right. A lot of people like that.
Who wants to go first then today, Wayne?
I've got a funny one, so I'm going to go first if that's cool.
If you like, please lead away.
Here we are. You would not expect this from me, people, but I always tell folks that a show called How to Get Away with Murder has a great pilot episode.
Right.
They then call me a bitch.
No, I haven't seen it, so I can't comment. But well, what is it so intriguing about it?
Okay, so the whole premise of the show is that there's this law professor woman, right? Annalise Keating is her name, and she's a criminal defense attorney, but she's also a law professor. And
is that someone of note, Viola Davis?
Yes, Viola Davis, exactly. And so she, in her class, picks five students that she thinks are the bomb or whatever, and says, you come into my practice, we're going to solve some shit, and we're going to actually, you're going to help me. But the whole deal
is...
It's
a real murder or it's a fake murder?
It is a real... She gets them to work on her real cases.
Oh, okay.
Right? As like, you know, and it's like really prestigious to be picked by her, you know?
Yeah, sure. It sounds like unpaid labor to me.
Very much so. But, you know, law students, man. And her class is actually called How to Get Away with Murder, because she says that if she teaches everyone how to do it, then you'll know how to prosecute against it. Boom. All right? But the whole first episode, that's cool, all right? But the first episode flashes back between this, her picking these students and them interacting with each other, and a flash forward where all the students are in her house going, how do we get rid of this body, right?
Oh, that's intriguing.
And you, all the way through the episode, you don't know who that body is, and you see people like her husband.
Well, presumably the people who are in the scene say, how do we get away with this body, aren't the body, but other
No, but there's other people that introduced, like there's a college professor that's next to her, there's a police person, there's someone that she knows, it's her husband, all these other characters come in, and you're like, fuck, all the way through the episode, you're like, shit, is she the one in the fucking thing? Because they're in her house, and why have they got a
body? Oh, so Viola Davis isn't there.
No, she's not there. Only the five kids. So you're like, ooh, and at the end, you find out who it is. And it's like, oh, that's kind of a big thing. I won't spoil it in case you want to see it. Yeah. But it's...
Several seasons, this show, right?
Several seasons. I tapped out after the first season, not because I didn't want to, but just...
You don't know how they got rid of the body / what happened?
Oh, no, I got the first season.
Yeah, but does it give you a nice arc done?
At the end of the first episode, you find out who the body is.
Oh, first episode, sorry.
Yeah, but then the whole...
season.
First episode, you find out straight away. That's why it's good, because you're like, what the... Oh, shit, when you see it, and it's like, ah.
So I think there's something to that, and there's something about that in a lot of my choices on my list, like... Something that comes around with a big reveal right before the credits. The hook, right?
The hook.
It's the hook to bring you back.
Absolutely.
After the first episode.
And that's when you're writing a pilot, right? And because that's the thing. They make pilots all the time and you don't know if it gets picked up. So you got one chance to show people and studios that you can be, you know,
one opportunity?
Good. One shot. One kill. No, what if you had? Eminem, you doing Eminem?
No, I was doing Eminem.
You're fat. Well, we got there in the end. Well, I did.
Better late than never.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's an interesting choice for number 10. My number 10 is one I don't know if you ever bothered with either, even though I've encourage you to check it out.
Bring it.
Three seasons in now. It's from Netflix. It's from 2017. It's Ozarks.
Oh, no, I did. I saw. This is one of those shows where I went like 7 episodes in and I don't know what happened. I just never got to the end.
Look, I can't fault you for that because I will say this. If I have a complaint about Ozark, it's very lackadaisically paced.
It
always has a big first episode of the season and it always has a couple of great episodes to end it. But it's a slog.
A lot of dithering around in there. It's a slog with the in fucking between. Young girl.
So,
and
again, we're not talking the show overall. We're talking the pilot. And this pilot, created by Bill Dubuque, Mark Williams, and directed by Jason Bateman.
Oh.
This episode, who also does a lot of other things through the course. He's an EP. He's written a lot of episodes. He's directed a bunch of other episodes.
He's quite the man, isn't he?
Yeah. Problem is, he's not a great actor.
You reckon?
I think Jason Bateman plays Jason Bateman.
He's Teen Wolf, baby.
Even then. I know. He's very. Him. I don't think Jason Bateman acts. Think of Game Night. Think of anything you can get Jason Bateman in.
Do you know why? He's got that Pollyanna kind of face. This nice, handsome, like sort of unoffensive kind of, not too handsome kind of thing, right? And he obviously, he's not versatile. Yes.
No,
he's definitely
that's
not a chameleon.
That's my word. That's the
word. Could you say the same for Michael J. Fox? I don't think you could, actually.
No.
I don't think you could.
Michael J. Fox.
Because he does
is
like
Hedgehogs
of Wars and shit like that. It's different. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, yeah, you're
Jason Bateman just plays Jason Bateman. And he's very fucking good
at it. Yeah, he's in the Jason Bateman business. That's his thing.
And this is a perfect role for him. So, he plays Marty Bird. Mm-hmm. And he is an accountant who, it turns out, right from the get go, he is laundering for a Mexican cartel along with his business partner. Can't remember if his wife, Laura Linney, is in on it or not.
I can't either.
But she's very much, it doesn't take much to convince her that they have to move and whatever else. So I think she knows without knowing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, she's like the wife in Breaking Bad, not really, kind of.
No, I think she's more implicit in this than.
Yeah, you're right.
Than complicit, than Skyler is in Breaking Bad, who had no fucking idea what Walt was doing. And that's probably the closest comparison Breaking Bad in this. And spoilers, Breaking Bad is not on my list, right?
Mine either, because it didn't.
I didn't think the first episode's that amazing.
I don't think the first fucking season's that amazing.
Yeah, I think Breaking Bad is a show which continues to grow.
Two seasons, maybe.
It gets really, really good the further it goes. And season 4 being the pinnacle for me, season 5 is excellent. But
it gets good around 3.
But no, it's commitment. So it's enough in the Breaking Bad pilot.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people love that. Good on them. But I think they're more reflecting on the overall show.
Me too.
Than they are the pilot episode.
Me too. It doesn't
itself.
Hook you. Go on.
Whereas this was so intense. He gets called in. His fucking business partner gets gunned down. Bam, right in front of him. And then he's desperate. He just happens to have this fucking flyer in his back. He's like, oh, we can go to the Ozarks and I can launder more money.
Yeah.
Don't kill me. And they go, we'll give you a chance.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, his wife's fucking some other dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some rich dude up some whatever apartment or whatever. And
Paul loves Laura Linney, by the way.
I don't love her at all. But point is that the cartel then, in a great shot, this is really well directed by Jason Bateman. I've had a go at him as an actor, but I think his direction in this pilot is spot on.
Yeah.
He's fucking, I'm going to confront, I'm taking my wife, taking my kids, we're going to the Ozarks, we've got no choice. And he's storming towards the apartment building. And the dude just it gets thrown off the fucking ledge by the cartel.
I remember it now.
Damn, this fucking pilot is playing for keeps, man.
He just gets chucked out. That's pretty good.
It was amazing. And a very drab blue monochrome sort of filter and whatever else, but it has its own distinctive colouring and it does through the rest of the series as well.
Yeah, it got Len Wiseman slightly. But
it's a good description. But boom, I mean, like, I thought this was a great pilot. I was really interested. There's one more season to finish it off, apparently, coming season 4. I was a bit bored in season 3, I've got to be honest. My fiancé loves the shit out of it, but I'll be in to see how it ends.
So you're, okay, that's not bad. I probably, you know what, if there wasn't a million shows to watch, I might have gotten to the end of this, so there you are.
That's my 10, Sugarwood, i.e. the pilot from Ozark.
Nice one. My number 9 is the pilot from Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Another one I haven't seen.
Oh, dude, okay, let me tell you
about
this, folks.
No, wait, did I watch this one? Did you tell me to watch it?
We've talked about it on the show before, but what it is... okay,
Tina,
so it's
Tina Fey. No, that's 30 Rock.
That's 30 Rock. This is the thing about this thing. Everyone, this movie is about backstage at a Saturday Night Live type show.
Yeah.
All right. And this one, however, is the Aaron Sorkin one, which is which actually came up.
Sorkin.
Yes, Sorkin. Now listen, it's awesome, okay? Because it starts out with just the audio of, hey, you know, the warm-up guy saying, who hasn't been to Studio 60 before? And he's trying to warm up the audience and stuff. It's just that audio. It comes through. You'd start to meet these characters, Chandler from Friends. This is
demented
the world.
And
there
sad,
you go.
But social.
Of course. Finally. An apt one, but still fuck you. So.
You cock juggling thunder cunt.
Again, you're an asshole.
Every week.
You're a bitch. So Matthew Perry is wicked in this. He's like this like writer, but he's kind of a big shot writer. And then like Bradley Whitford, the guy from
Cabin in the Woods,
amazing show. But the reason the pilot is good is because you are immediately like it feels like backstage, but it's so classy and everyone's so, you know, Aaron Sorkin talking stuff like that,
unrealistic
but amazing because everything is just popping. And it's, I'll be honest with you, the show never really recovers its swing after that.
So like, this is the best episode of the show?
No, I would say that about for 4 or 5, it actually is. The whole first season is great, but it, for one reason or another, it was not picked up.
Did and it
I,
last long? Long
no,
last
one season? Season.
One season.
One season. Okay. And it ends kind of in a good, like, it, I'm not sure why it didn't get picked up. It's one of those things where it could have been
I'll
great.
I'll tell you why. Unrealistic dialogue.
No, bitch. Tell you when. If you like, I would say even if you don't like Sorkin, you can appreciate how just fun it is to hear these characters talk. That's why it's a good pilot, because immediately I knew I was going to watch the whole thing and I nailed the whole thing. So very sad it didn't work out. 30 Rock came after this and it's the one that actually worked. And it's actually a joke on 30
that
Rock.
That was written by Aaron Sorkin.
No, but Aaron Sorkin was on an episode of 30 Rock where Tina Fey mentions this show.
Okay.
It's like, oh, yeah. So it's shit like that. So anyway, yeah, Studio 60. Give it a try.
Okay. And you don't have to commit too much to it because I only had however many episodes. What,
exactly. 10, 9, whatever.
All right. Well, my number 9. Might be a surprise. I didn't hear anybody mention this in the ridiculous amount of feedback that we got, but yeah. True Detective's first episode ever.
The I long, thought about this one.
Bright Dark, the first season.
You're talking about Matthew McConaughey
and
McConaughey
and Woodhouse and season. The first season. The first season. So this ends up being an anthology series, but the second season was so bad we've never seen a third season.
We have.
Have we?
Yeah. Mahershala Ali.
Oh, sorry. I take that back. You're right.
The second one sucked.
Yeah, so the third one was better, I think, right?
I think I didn't get all the way through it, but it was definitely better.
He said ringing endorsement.
Again, if I fall out of a movie or show, it's not necessarily the show's fault. It's probably my fault.
Right, well, anyway, this one, instant sensation, this show. Like this Eldritch sort of horror.
Man, I had a whole thing with this show, dude. Me and my ex at the time, we couldn't wait for the next episode. And there's scenes in this show and in this pilot which are just chilling. It's like, what the fuck is that? You know, really, really cool.
So two clean-cut cops.
Yep.
One's a genius, Russ Cole, played by McConaughey in 1995. There's a bunch of murders, right? And then Woody Harrelson is the other side of the coin. And then we fast forward to 2012. Cole is this washed-up alcoholic at that point in time. We're flashing back and forth between. And another murder's happened in the style of the 1995 murders. All this is intriguing as shit, right? And Cole's being interviewed as if maybe he's a suspect.
Yep.
Whereas Woody Harrelson is still, I think, from memory, on the force.
Yeah.
Right? And he's investigating because something's going on here. It's just this creeping dread, right, in this
Because
in this
you
pilot.
See these two young sort of like cops, and Matthew Connick is fucking hot and shit, right? And like these, and then he cuts to him, he being all fucked up now. Yep. He's like drinking beers
for the whole interview.
Yeah, and when he smokes cigarettes, he sucks the life out of these cigarettes. You could tell he's just this sort of like,
he's committing 100%. These two performances, both of them, McConaughey in particular, but Harrelson as well. I think he's really underrated as an actor, Woody Harrelson.
I would agree. Harrelson gets like Rampart and places. He gets these arty things as well as fucking Now You See Me.
He's all, and he's War for the Planet of the Apes and, you know, all I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he's
just,
great.
He's
Woody
everywhere.
Great.
He's fantastic. And this is great TV. And Nick Pizzolatto or whatever his name is.
Pizzolatto, yeah.
Yeah, who wrote and directed this shit. It's all him. It's fantastic.
The fact that I still remember this show, and I still remember the trailer of this show. It's an honorable mention for me, so definitely.
And look, just the layering of the writing, right? Heart, that's Woody Harrelson's character. Cole, heart and soul, baby.
He,
they are. That's a deliberate play on it.
And actually, the way that the episode, because some people have a problem with the season, how it ended.
I didn't either.
Because with the wheelchair and they're saying that's fucking great because they're still
friends.
I totally
thought it was going to be a darker ending than it was.
So did I, and that's why I was happy about it. I love that first season.
I know Paul's happy about a happy ending.
I know.
Sort of.
Holy shit, people.
And also, I want to just mention Alexandria Daddario.
Oh, mate. I'm sorry we haven't talked about that yet, but it's fantastic. I mean, she is fantastic. Absolutely. A revelation.
My notes here are like, there's a hell of a lot going on in this pilot, and most of it I was intrigued by. The horror undertones also really got my juices flowing, which wasn't at all harmed by the presence of Alexander.
Well, it was just, I'm going to mention, you know what, let's not make this whole episode about breasts. We'll talk later.
Not the whole episode, but maybe a bit of it.
Yeah, it's going to come up again, so to speak.
All right, well, then we'll pause on that one, okay. And we'll move on to your number 8.
Alrighty, Roo. My number 8, Veep. The pilot for Veep.
This is the least reactionary episode we've ever had because I've not seen any of your shit.
God damn it. All right, let me tell you why it's awesome, all right? Now, this is the thing. So Veep is
shit, just to be clear.
Veep is a wicked ass show. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Elaine, is in it, and she's the vice president. All right, of the U.S.
Oh, she's got a lot of
vice principal. No, but she's a mean piece of shit. And now I've said a few times that mean doesn't always mean funny in comedy. It does in this instance. You're a media, it's a half-hour episode. You're seeing all of her staff and the people in the show. And there's Mike, a bunch of people. But there's the one particular thing is there's a character named Jonah who everyone hates. And he works for the president or something. But he's a piece of shit. He's got that weird face. I can't remember the actor's name. But he's got a punchable face.
He's got a weird face.
He's got a punchable face. And that's why they cast him. They say this all the time. He says that when he's working, writers come out, look at his face to make up nicknames for him. Because one of the themes of the show is that he's got this list called the Jonad file. They call him Jonad, right? And everyone in the White House thinks of shitty nicknames for him. Here's a little example.
What? No.
This is rude.
This is awesome.
This is hurtful.
These are the nicknames, some of them, right? Jizzy Gillespie, Jack and the Giant Jackoff, Wadzilla, One Erection, 12 Years a Slave to Jerking Off, Benedict Come in His Own Hand. Things like that. Great, and there's all that kind of shit. Teenage Mutant Ninja Asshole.
That's funny.
It's all, and there's one scene, they just rattle off all of these names for about a minute, and each one gets funnier and funnier. It's a real great show. Veep is one of the funniest shows on TV, people.
So it was immediately funny, that's what you're saying.
Immediately funny. So you gotta check Veep out, y'all, just for your life. Just have a good life and watch Veep.
How many seasons in the end?
Oh, shit. 4-ish. And there's only half an episode, so you can burn through them. Mm. This is actually a good time, people. I'm telling you.
I'm already burning through The Office now, so I can't do multiple things
at
once.
Get to Veep eventually, Cracker.
All right. Very nice. That's your number 8. My number 8 is a film. I've done to you.
Same shit.
Fly of the Conchords.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So,
Sally,
go on.
The first episode. So, look, I didn't know I was going to. This is a friend of ours. He's been on the podcast once or twice, Christian. We're at his place. I was at his place. He's like, this new show's on, man. My cousin is raving about it. And shout out to Adrian. We stuck it on and I'm like, I'm weirdly entertained. This is ostensibly a musical, but I'm not hating it. Good on you. That was a good Yoda.
It's a comedy. Thank you. It's a comedy musical, though. It's not the same as a musical.
But, like, it just works because it's kind of going into their heads when they're doing it.
But you still see the performance in situ? Yeah, I know.
And so in this episode, so Jermaine Clement and Brett McKenzie, they're the Flight of the Conchords.
Mm-hmm.
And
a band.
How genius to have this show, which is basically their songs they've written. They're weaving them into a narrative.
Yeah.
I think 3 or 4 of them in this first episode. Arj Barker is their best mate, Dave. Mm-hmm. They're in New York. They're fish out of water.
Did I tell you,
it's hilarious.
The coolest thing about this show, in my opinion, so it's a New Zealand show, all right? They've written it, but they set it in New York. So they're shooting
HBO
it in
show,
New York. HBO picks it up, and it's like, we get to go live in New York for a while from New Zealand as a little band. Fucking genius! Fucking genius!
I just love the fact that, you know, it's New Zealanders, right?
Exactly!
So it's our neighbors across the ditch and whatever. We've got this competition going on with them.
Absolutely.
It's the only country in the world that we have more people than. So, like, it's the only time we have more of a chance to beat them.
That's right.
But everything except rugby, because we suck.
Yes. Really? I don't know. I don't think of a sport.
So we get, you know, the beautiful girl in the room.
That's a great song.
Yep.
And I've actually heard a woman play that at her wedding.
Wow.
As in, like, that was the bridal dance.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, though, right? It's pretty cool.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's actually giving shit to the woman.
Yeah, a little bit.
She's cool. She's a cool woman.
Depending on the street. Yeah. Robots. Yeah, the distant future.
Oh, God.
Future.
Is Too Many Dicks on the Dance Floor in this episode? Not in this episode. Okay, cool. That's a great song.
And then, you know, Not Crying is towards the end.
Is it?
I'm not crying. You're crying. Not crying. Yeah, I won't do it. But this weirdness, it's funny. I'm liking it too. There's no way. And eventually, of course, there's a big rivalry between New Zealand and Australia, which I was building towards before. Not this pilot episode, but it comes up later. It's so endearing.
Can we just say that episode where the Aussie woman, who is beautiful, the amount of tropes that... Her name is Keitha. Like the feminine of Keith. That's not even a name, people. No one has that name. All right? And then it's like, all three episodes, it's like, oh, she's Australian, yeah? Have you got your wallet? Every time they mention, she's like, have you got your wallet? It's actually
very
great.
Funny.
It's really
very
great.
And look, it's probably not even from the episode, but can I play a bit of a song from one of the episodes?
Yeah, go on.
This is the one that everyone knows it's Business Time.
Oh, yeah.
But here's another song which I really, really love, makes me laugh a lot.
Go on.
If you want me to, I can hang around with you. If I only knew that's what you're into.
You and him, him and you. If that's what you're into, him hanging round around you, you're hanging round, yeah, you're there too.
And if you want me to, I will take off all my clothes for you. I'll take off all my clothes for you, if that's what you're into.
How about him in the nude, if that's what you're into? In the nude in front of you, is that what you'd want to view?
If it's cool with you, I'll let you get naked too. It could be a dream come true, providing that's what you are into.
Is that what you're into? Him and you in the nude, that's what he's prepared to do. Is that the kind of thing that you think you might be into?
And then maybe later, we'll get hot by the refrigerator, in the kitchen next to the pantry. You think that might be what you fancy?
In the buff, being rude, doing stuff with the food, getting nude with his food. We heard that's what you are into.
And then on our next date, well, you could bring your roommate. I don't know if Stu is keen to, but if you want, we could double team you.
How about you and two dudes, him, you, and Stu in the nude, being loose with two dudes with food? Well, that's if Stu's into it too.
All the things I do.
So is the idea here that there's another guy?
Yeah, no, they're singing to a girl.
That's like a Beastie Boys. That's quite funny.
It's Jermaine Clement.
It's quite funny. Okay.
I thought that was pretty funny and a great indication. And look, you know, we'll be sued for copyright now, but
that's
advertisement. Fine. Go check out Fly the Conchords.
Yeah. All good. Nice one. My number seven, everyone, is I'm loathe to tell you this, people, because this is one of those shows. Well, the pilot was great, and as a result, I watched every frame of this fucking show, every season.
Exactly what this one is. It's my honorable mention, because the pilot is great.
But like a masochist asshole, I kept on watching, and I don't know why.
I tapped out at whatever point that fucking Sila came back from the dead in someone else's body.
We are, of course, talking about Heroes. Yeah. Now, it collapsed into an overwrought mess of horse shit that I watched like a sick fucking prick. But this opening show...
If you beat Wayne off, he will come back.
That's right. Just bang, right in your face. So anyway, in the show, you are now finding... Basically, it's about normal people who suddenly are bestowed with superpowers. And you see Hero, that dude, he can bend space and time. And the cheerleader is invulnerable and... Some, you know, people got some violent ass alter egos, shit like that. But all through the movie, you see Peter Petrelli, Milo Ventimiglia, right? and his older brother, Adrian Pasdar, is like, they're like, you know, supposedly Adrian Pasdar the whole time is basically saying to him, you don't have any superpowers, don't be a bitch, what the hell, it's not real, yada, yada, yada. But then at the end of the episode, Peter Petrelli jumps off a fucking building because he's like, I can fly, bitches, right? But he can't fly and he's plummeting to his death. And all of a sudden, before he dies, boom, some hand comes out, reaches him. Adrian Pasdar, his brother, is actually the cunt that can fly and saves him right in the ass. And then it's like, oh my God! So it's a huge part of the whole episode show. And that's why I kept on watching, but I shouldn't have. So don't be like me. But go ahead and watch this trailer, Fritz pilot.
Not sure you paid enough attention to my beat off joke.
if you want to riff on that, that's cool. We got like 2 minutes.
No, I 100% agree with you that this was an intriguing premise, and that sort of voiceover dude start, like, it's quite clear they had a clear direction in this first season. Like, they knew what Tim Kring, I think, created this show.
Yeah.
But then it went completely off the rails. I can't remember if the writer's strike fucked it in the ass.
The show itself.
But the second season was a glorious shitstorm. The moment that Hero goes back in time to fucking feudal Japan.
Yep.
It all goes to seed. That's where you need to get out. Just accept it sucks at that point in time and get out. Because after that point, nothing makes any sense anymore.
To be honest with you, the first season was okay. Right? It was good.
I think that was the last episode of the first season. He goes back to feudal Japan.
Yeah, because it could have gone somewhere else, but then it just turned to shit. And then it just...
Time travel is so fraught with danger when you introduce it into your... Especially in a TV show, which is ongoing. Whereas a movie, you can contain it for an hour and a half or 2 hours. But yeah, when you got 22 at that point in time, 22 hours per year that you need to justify that, just go back in time. Just go back in time.
And the second season was also, you didn't know shit. Like, it's one of those things that also didn't give you any answers. And it's like, wait a minute. And then everyone, you need to give me some answers now, prick. And they just fell off it. But it still went for 5 fucking seasons or some shit.
Didn't they have a reboot recently? Did you give that a bash?
Are you kidding me? I wasn't giving one more second to this show that stole my youth.
Finally kicked that habit. Well done, him.
Yes. A hero, you might say.
Yeah, because I knew this. I totally knew this would be on your list. So I chopped it off because I knew we talked about it.
I got a couple of those.
All right, my number seven. Is that where we are? Seven?
Yes.
My number seven is a film. Again, Jesus, what's going on? A TV show, which I loved the shit out of back in the early 2000s.
Yes.
Jennifer Garner.
Oh, Alias. I saw this on a couple of people's lists. I've seen Alias. I used to watch it a bit, not like you. What happened in the pilot?
So in the pilot, basically, it starts with her being tortured by some random Asian dude and whatever else.
Bloody Asians. I'm Asian, everyone at school.
So is my fiance.
See? We're fine. This is a gag.
My child is half Asian.
So you win. You win.
No, you are actually.
No, I think you win because you. Anyway, sorry, go on.
My point being that, anyway, so she's got this red hair on and whatever. So she's dressed up as a super spy, and then it flashes back to her regular day and her boyfriend who proposed.
Bradley Cooper.
To her. No.
Oh, no, he wasn't the boyfriend.
He's her friend.
Oh.
Bradley Cooper's her friend. It's the first time I ever saw Bradley Cooper.
Who was the dude?
Okay, I'll tell you why you don't know who he is, because he dies at the end of the first episode. He gets killed because she tells him her secret.
And then someone busts
Sloan, the head of SD6. So she works for an organization called SD6, which basically for the whole pilot, you're like, it's an offshoot, a secret branch of the CIA.
Of course.
No, it's not. It's actually the bad guys. She's been working for the bad guys the whole time.
Holy shit, and she didn't know?
She didn't know. And her dad also works for SD6. But he also knows he's working for the bad guys.
Is he a cunt as well?
No, he's actually with her.
Victor Garber.
Victor Garber, who's brilliant.
Yeah, he's Victor Garber.
Such a good
Garber.
Actor. Like, I think he's the captain. Is it the captain on the Titanic, which sinks in the film The Titanic?
Oh, excellent. Good point. Yes, I think he is.
He's such a great, kind of very straight-laced, and he plays it so well. There's a great scene in the pilot, which I know I'm very picking on really specific stuff here, but where the boyfriend rings up the dad to say, basically, like, do I have your permission to ask your daughter for marriage? He's like, you don't know Sydney very well if you're even asking that question of me. You know, like he's just fucking derp.
No, but he's a ball breaker as well. Like, so it's a heavy set sort of grey looking dude. You know, like, I'd be scared.
We can all fathers and daughters should be Victor Garber in Alias. That is what I'm hoping to be one day.
All right. I can't wait to see your wings and your hair and fucking wearing grey suits and shit. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, the suits maybe. I'm not sure I'll have the hair to pull it off. But
You'll be fine. You'll be fine, mate.
But yeah, really, what a great twist. What a, you know, so we've killed a major character, what you think's a major character straight away, and this twist which rocks her whole world just sets this up beautifully. Alias is, look, it eventually goes off the rails, Fibonacci and all the rest of that shit, but this J.J. Abrams.
I didn't continue with it,
This first episode, in fact, the first two seasons are stellar television, and my partner at the time were tuning every week like clockwork.
No, I remember this show, and I do remember liking it as well. And I think it's the reason I went and saw Daredevil.
Daredevil. What's the reason she got Daredevil?
Look, she was awesome in Daredevil. She's just beautiful, man.
No, she's a beautiful woman. I think she's a solid actor as well.
So do I.
Daredevil's a piece of shit. This is a much better version of
Elektra was a bag of fucking asshole, too.
Of course, yeah.
Anyway, nice one. All right, my number six, then, is a show that I do.
How many times could do that?
It's a show. It's House of Cards, man.
Oh, okay. Again, now, never seen it.
Oh, man. Well, look.
I've seen the very first scene where the dog gets hit.
Yeah, that's what it starts like. It's basically, it's about congressional majority whip Frank Underwood. Kevin, that guy.
What's that mean? What's a whip?
A whip is...
Is on a whip?
Whip. I believe, oh God, someone out there who knows U.S. politics will be able to correct me, but I believe it is their job to actually whip the Senate vote for their party.
Is it spelled different than WHIP?
No, it's whip. It's WHIP.
Stop saying whip.
It's cool whip. Have you not seen that? That skit's a Family Guy sketch? Whip. Anyway. Pissing your brain off now.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
But anyway, the reason the show is good is, yes, it starts with the dog thing, and he has to kill the dog with a fucking, like, you know, and it's really quite brutal. But then you see what's happening in the show, and he's talking to the camera. Now, it is, I think, the finest example of someone talking to the camera and making it work. Because what happens is, when he's talking to you and saying shit to you and explaining stuff, they'll cut to an inauguration where there's a full wide shot of the inauguration, but the only guy in there is Frank, is this guy.
Frank Underwood.
Frank Underwood, looking at you in the audience and actually giving you a nod, like, like that, you know, and it's odd to actually get that. Because you're like, so it's really brilliant. This show is brilliant. It's just at the last season. It started
after
the Kevin Spacey thing, right? Yeah. First two episodes with Claire, what's her name, like getting...
Robin Wright.
Robin Wright, yeah. I was impressed. And then it just spectacularly turned to shit.
Well, that's not the pilot's fault.
I know. The pilot itself got me through the however many seasons because it was brilliant up to then. It's a really great show, I'm sorry to say. But yeah, it is.
Well, don't be sorry. Yeah, there's a lot of people worked on that show that wasn't Kevin Spacey.
Exactly. And you know what? It's just brilliant. It's really brilliant.
All right. Very nice. My number six is maybe a little out of left field. I don't know if anyone mentioned this one at all, but I went back and watched the first 5 minutes of this pilot in prep for this yesterday.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it's good.
What?
It is great. Battlestar Galactica.
I almost thought about
this reboot.
One. Yeah, I mean, the reboot, of course.
Yeah, the 2005, 6 or whatever.
Tell me what happened to this. I can't remember.
No, I'm choosing to go with the miniseries prequel.
Sure. Oh, that's right. It was a miniseries.
So there was a 3-hour miniseries, 4 hours on broadcast television. Two parts. First part's called Night One. That's what I'm talking about here. And it just starts with this really cool shot, like mounted on the side of this space ship that's coming towards a small, really ugly looking station, really. And it's just locked in on the side. That's intriguing. It docks, and there's this title cards that are coming up in between. The Cylons were created by humans to work the 12 colonies. They rebelled. There was a war 40 years ago. They disappeared. An armistice was worked out, basically, where they would fuck off and disappear. And every year, there is one opportunity for the two sides to communicate on this out-of-nowhere space station. And the humans send one delegate every year. The Cylons have never attended. So this dude rocks up. He sits down in the space station, empty area, puts his photos of his wife. He's got to sit there for a few hours.
Yeah.
And he's just dicking around on his phone or whatever the equivalent is in the future. And then there's this noise. He's like, what the fuck? You hear these boot of footsteps and the doors swing open and two Cylons.
Cylon robot thingy.
Traditional Cylon robot centurions come walking through. And then there's this click of high heels. And this vision that is Trisha Helfer.
Oh, God.
Comes walking through. Number six, as she's known in the course of this TV show. Comes through. He's an older dude. Comes through because he's so enraptured with her.
Fair enough.
She just says, how do you feel? How do you know you feel? And kisses him. Right? And then that cuts outside to this massive Cylon ship over the top of this space station, which starts firing fucking rockets into it.
She's in there.
Well, yeah, while she's in there too, which all makes sense later through the course of it. And she says, it has begun. And then the whole station blows up. What an opening.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Holy
shit. Is this
the
cold open?
Yeah, that's the cold open, man. That starts the whole show. And then we get establishing the characters and that Mary McDonald's character.
Yeah, yeah.
Has president cancer, president, or she becomes president because everyone else gets killed because they attack the 12 colonies and destroy everybody except this ragtag group of ships that all form around Battlestar Galactica, which is an old ship that was about to be decommissioned, run by
Adama.
James L. Jones. Olmos? Edward James Olmos?
Yeah.
James L. Jones. Well done, Paul. Edward James Olmos is Adama and his son, Boomer, and Starbuck is a chick in this version.
That was huge and it happened because I remember the original, like, the 21st century and Tweaky and the fucking stuff. It was cool that they did that.
Yeah, Colonel Ties and alcohol. All these characters
it's
are
really
established.
It's a really good show. It just ended like shit.
No, it's a terrible ending. But again, we're not judging the ending.
Again, no, you're right.
The pilot.
Yeah, good call.
This
good
was
call.
Phenomenal. And on a limited budget, it looks pretty good for its time. Like now you can see it. But still, then it was
I enjoyed it.
Great.
When it happened, it was great. So I like that show.
Loved this pilot and really intrigued me, and I was chafing it a bit for more, and that's why it's my number six on my list.
Good one. My number five is a film that will... Sorry, no. Fucking shit, it's a show.
Who can fuck this up more this episode?
Exactly. This show is, of course, Justified. Now, I know it's my
is
favorite
it Justified?
Show. It is indeed Justified.
How this do you justify Justified?
This is one of the best written shows on TV ever.
Damn.
That's right. You know, a lot of people don't know about this one, but it opens, this cold opener, this show is Raylan Givens, Timothy Oliphant.
I've seen this. It's not that fucking
fuck
good.
Off, man. That was cool. He walks into this Miami sweet-ass club where this bad guy, who's actually the Zed from Pulp Fiction, is sitting down, and he's like, sits down, basically this conversation goes, I told you 24 hours ago, Peter Green, to get out of town. You'd have 24 hours to get out of town, or I'd kill you. And he's a policeman, obviously, Raylan Givens, with his hat and his fucking cool shit or whatever. It's cool, man.
You're
it became iconic.
Me, aren't
it became
you?
Iconic. He says, you've got like basically, you know, 1 minute to go. Counts it all the way down. Finally pulls his gun out, says, if you don't, whatever, I'm going to shoot you. It gets very tense. You're going to kill me right here. What are you going to kill me? Boop, 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 boop. Finally, he pulls a gun. Like the bad guy pulls a gun. Raylan Givens takes him out, right? Boom. That's it.
Makes
so he actually
sense.
Dies.
Guy pointing gun at you, you try and pull a gun to beat him.
Inconceivable.
Well, he thought he was going to shoot. He's counting down. 3, 2, 1, and he pulls. You know, it's very, very cool. That's not the whole thing, though. The whole episode kicks him back to Kentucky. It's the shit, people. Even the end of the episode, you see fucking all of, like, Walton Goggins comes on. He's the shit. You know I love his ass, all right?
Many, many moons ago when this show started, you and Gabe were, like, you know, fellating each other.
We were fellating heavily. Not each other, motherfucker.
over this show. So, again, friend of the show, Andrew and I, we decided to sit down and watch it. And we watched it. We both at the end of it looked at each other and went, nah.
That's because you were both fleeting each other. So fuck off.
I'm not sure how to use my joke back at me.
Man, at the end of this thing, the bad guy actually gets shotgunned. The guy, and then you don't even know how it's going to end. So he gets killed by, surprisingly, wicked. The whole thing is this shit, people. I will tell you this, though.
One of those words is correct.
Bomb, balls, tits. The
All of those words are correct.
Look, the show does take a few episodes then to get in there, but this one hooked me into the actual, there's about episode 4 where it starts to take off and be good. But it is an awesome show. I'm telling you, Justified is well worth your time. It's a justified use of your time. Okay, cool.
Don't even know what to make of that. So let's just move
why
on.
Would you, why would
My
you?
Number 5 is Firefly.
Fireflaps. Now.
Firefly! Rammstein.
Paul, for the uninitiated, what's Firefly about?
Firefly is Joss Whedon's show set in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's the amalgamation of the American and Chinese cultures, because that's the predominant cultures, which is fascinating in and of itself.
A space western?
It's a space western which follows Captain Mal Reynolds and his motley crew who have survived the Battle of Serenity Valley. They lost.
Mm.
So the Alliance have taken over, the Browncoats have lost, and they kind of live beneath the radar of the authorities. They take on passengers, which is the whole pilot episodes, including River Tam, who has been rescued by her brother, Simon Tam, who realized that they were torturing their graduates from this academy.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out later on, we know why, but we won't spoil that today if you haven't seen it. This is the worst treated pilot / show in the history of television.
Go on.
Had Fox not fucked it, it might have had a chance to take off, and it should have.
Now, as amazing. I recall, there was some controversy about this first one because they had written whatever.
I'm talking about the proper pilot. I'm not talking about the one that was actually shown.
Oh, now what happened with
the train job?
Now, what happened there? The train job was actually the pilot because they were trying to recrobar, like,
well, they basically said, they said the first episodes are too boring. We want something action-packed. And they just showed, basically, the third episode first.
Really? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Fuck.
So the pilot episodes are then shown afterwards, and people are like, what the fuck is going on?
This is fucked.
So no wonder people just tuned out and went, fuck this shit. I got better things to do with
my
time.
That's what I remember now. Yes, okay. Yeah, the first... Look, this is a great show. Was it one or two movies afterwards? One, right?
One, Serenity.
Yeah, Serenity is awesome as well. Like, everyone still talks about this show. If you're a nerd like us, you know about this show.
We were at an advanced screening, as I speak about on this week's bonus episode.
That may be the first of your advanced screenings I've ever seen.
The podcast was not even a glint in either of our eyes.
Nope. And I went there and I saw all of the people that went to the thing and they were dressed up as characters from there. And this is an obscure show as far as that's concerned. So this is hardcore fanage, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it was my first, I don't know, this was my first super like Comic-Con-ish type thing. I'm like, oh my God, people dress up in cosplay. I had never seen that before. So it's kind of a thing. So
absolutely was a thing. And look, so much shit happens here, right from establishing how badass Mal is at the end of the second. He just walks up and just shoots the dude who's been the antagonist the whole episode. He's like, got a gun to someone's head. He's already shot someone. He's already shot Kaylee. And, you know, she almost dies in the first episode.
That is why it's cool. Boom, the cool thing about Mal Reynolds is that he just, boom, he does what he has whip to it do. Out, kaboom, that's it. Yeah. So he doesn't hesitate. It's kind of cool.
Shepherd Book is a badass. He disarms that dude earlier on. Like, whoa, how is a priest? What's what shepherds are.
Yes, and then you find out he's got a nefarious kind of secret.
That's so cool.
That is cool. Man, and back then it was quite new as well.
The show rocks.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm sorry it never got off the ground in the way that it
everyone
really should have.
Everyone is. Okay, Firefly. My number 4 is the pilot of a show called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
All right, okay.
Yeah, let me tell you about this show, okay? It's about this, essentially set in the 50s, and there's a 50s housewife who's supporting her husband, just like people did in the 50s, you know, and it's like, he's trying to be an aspiring stand-up comedian. She goes...
Buddy sucks,
and he steals routines. So she's sitting there in the audience.
He steals her routines.
No, he just steals TV routines.
Oh, right.
And he says, that's what it's done. Everyone steals everyone's stuff, and it's not, right? So she's in the clubs with him, and she's supporting him by trying to make deals with the club owner, and she's writing down material, and she's giving him pointers and stuff. And he's typically a 50s man, like, fuck off, I know what the fuck I'm talking about, right?
How'd it go again?
That's exactly how it went. Rachel Brosnahan is Mrs. Maisel, and what happens is she's got a perfect cookie-cutter life, but one, it's beautiful, set in the 50s, 60s or whatever, so it's just gorgeous looking. But, and here's where we talk about the thing, Paul.
The thing?
Yeah, at the end of this first episode, all right, she actually gets up on stage herself because her husband becomes an asshole. He leaves her. She's doing her shit. He's, you know, all sorts of shit's happening. She finally gets drunk and just goes on stage and starts doing her comedy. And female comedians, unheard of in this time. And as a gag, because she is, in fact, making a joke about how her husband just cheated on her, she says, who would leave this? And she gets her tits out, right, on stage, right? And
whoa,
I don't,
seriously?
Yeah.
Hot damn!
That's right.
Wayne was in.
I don't mean to be this guy, and I'm sorry if I'm a foul, foul man, but Paul.
Sorry.
These are the finest breasts you've ever seen.
Oh, come on.
And
now.
I'm going to now show them to you. Ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just saying that it's as good as, I'm just saying to you. So anyone who's a little bit curious or so on, right? Check out, not because of the TDs, not because of the Tay Diggs, not because of the Tay Diggs, right? But because the show itself is excellent, right? The writers do an incredible job of laying out the storylines.
Wayne, everyone wants to know now. What? Real talk time. Honest answer time.
What?
If the titties weren't there.
Absolutely, I would.
Would this still be?
It would. It would. And I'll tell you something else. By the end of this episode, you fall in love with Midge, who is her character, right? Rebecca Brosnahan. No, Rachel Brosnahan. All right? Amazing. In 1 hour of TV, you've seen her whole life. It fell apart. It came back. And she's given you enough hope, but you are in love with her. She's great. So, yeah. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel pilot and whole show is the tits. Okay.
Sure is.
Yeah.
All right. I'm telling you. And have you gone on and watched the whole show?
I have watched the first season. Okay. So, yeah.
How many seasons is it?
Way more than one.
I don't know. So didn't get her tits out again?
Not that I saw. But let me just Google. No, I'm kidding.
Wayne's interest.
No, no, listen,
ironically,
people. I don't want you to think that it was a titty thing. I just thought that you should know there's hooks and things to this list.
You thought we should know.
I thought you should all know that it's great. It's a great scene and it's a great show. So there you are.
All right. Well, why number four then is a show which came along at the right time in my life. I'd just gone through a big breakup.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, this is a true story.
Go on.
Living in a friend's niece's bed while they traveled around the world. Yeah.
Nigel.
Nigel's niece. So I was staying in her bedroom.
I didn't know that was the arrangement. Go on. Yeah.
For a good 6 months or whatever. And I watched the first season of this show during that time, Prison Break.
Prison Break.
Mm.
Okay.
Prison Break is fucking awesome, man. Well, yeah. The pilot was, and the first two seasons were, and then it went to fucking seed. But we don't care about what happened
after that. Just
all
the pilot.
We care about okay, so here is the pilot in a nutshell. Guy gets himself thrown into prison.
Right.
Right? He robs a bank, but then surrenders himself. He's Wentworth Miller, so he's hotter than fuck.
Hot as fuck.
Those eyes. Whew,
Forget about it.
Oh, damn. Anyway, so he goes in there. He meets all the other characters. It's going to be a big part of the show, including his brother, who's in there on death row for murdering either the vice president or the vice president, someone or other.
Okay. Damn.
Right?
Oh, the Aussie dude?
Yeah, Dominic Purcell.
Dominic Purcell, yep.
Right. And so it's clear that he's got an agenda. But he's got to negotiate, and I love prison shit. I think I've said this on the show before. Like, terrifying to me that to be put into prison and have to negotiate the politics in there.
But you like watching it, man.
I know, but
I think you make a great gay guy in prison. Gay for this day, they call it, Paul.
So wouldn't. Not in that way. Not no. Oh, I wish that. Oh, fantasy.
No,
terrified.
No, mate. It is compelling. I know what you mean.
So, point is, a little bit like I'll watch any film's got spiders in it. I'm terrified by it, but I'll give it a bash to try and.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, point being, once all the political back and forth and all the other bit characters, except I don't think the guy who ends up becoming the major antagonist, Robert Nepple is his name. I can't think of what his name is in the show. Oh, Teabag.
Okay.
Yeah, seriously. I can't remember if he comes in the first episode or not, but. The thing though, the big hook is at the end of the episode, very start, he was getting some tattoos done.
Yep.
End of the episode, he meets his brother up somehow.
In prison. Yep.
And he says, I'm going to bust us out of here. And he's like, well, how are you going to do that when you don't know? And he says, yeah. We need to get access to the plans. He goes, no, we don't. I've got them right here. And he shows. And then all the tattoos are the tattoos in various.
Of the prison plans.
So this motherfucker can plan his way out of there. It's so clever.
That's cool.
It's so well put together. They murder Chelsea Ross, i.e. the backup pitcher from Major League, because he's trying to get a stay of execution.
Oh, yeah.
Someone kills him.
Really?
This show's playing for keeps because I thought he was going to be a major character. Gone. Dead.
Wow.
So, Sarah Wayne Callies, that's your, despite her name, that's your jam.
Is she?
Despite her name, absolutely your jam.
Really?
Yeah. Redhead, pretty girl.
Ah, fair enough.
Robert Tunney's in it as well as a defense lawyer. It's a great show.
Did you what went wrong with this show, do you think? Did it just turn to shit, or did they run out of material?
Spoilers for a show that's somewhere around 15 years old.
Throw it out.
The first season, they escape at the end of the first season. The second season, they're on the run. It's really intriguing, really good.
Yeah.
Third season, they get caught, put in some Guatemalan prison or some shit. It's fucking terrible.
So they're trying to go back. Yeah. I see.
Then they've got to escape again. I'm like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nah.
Somehow they all get put the same. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
All right, nice one. My number three is a show called Twin Peaks.
Okay.
The pilot.
Wow.
Yeah, now I'll tell you why this happened, okay? First of all, I'm not exactly a David Lynch fan.
Should be the anti-David Lynch podcast. In fact, exactly. We should do that. That's the next podcast.
Yeah, Lynch the Lynch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just came up with it.
Lynchians.
Yeah, we don't. I just find him a little pretentious. I know, though, that there's genius in him and a lot of people say. Anyway, Twin Peaks, this whole episode, the whole first episode. Now, look, I'm a hedonist. I tend to not have a lot to do with things that are depressing on purpose. But I will tell you with the... I watched the first season of... this pilot again with my ex at the time, who's a huge David Lynch fan. And it's just Laura Palmer getting found dead, wrapped in plastic. And
Wrapped in plastic.
I don't know what that's from.
She dead. Wrapped in plastic.
No, you got me.
If not from that episode, it's from...
Oh, it's from the extra. Sorry. Yeah. There you are.
Might be from Firewalker.
It actually is that. Yeah, it is that. So anyway, you then see people around the town just reacting in the most visceral way to her death. And it's like person after person after person. And it's got that music, that falling song, whatever. So atmospheric, so huge. And it's like waves and waves of grief as you see the news destroy each person. To say it's melancholy is an understatement, but somehow, and this is the weird thing, right? David Lynch is basically beating you over the head with grief and sadness, and somehow it's not entertaining, but you're totally there for it. It's absolutely spellbinding, and you just feel every bit of it. And this is coming from me.
I know, this is coming from me. This screams, vote for me.
I'm telling you, if you have it all, it's just the way it is. I'm
so
impressed.
Out of the fucking character for you.
I know it is, and that's why I remember it, because somehow I still kept watching this show, and it was so weird with the Red Rum and the Kyle MacLachlan and all. Like, it became this very weird its own thing, but that pilot got me, it shouldn't have. So something went right. So there you are.
Stunned.
I am telling you.
My number three is from a show you've never watched. You will never watch it, and nor should you, because subsequently the next 10 years of it kind of get progressively worse. But the pilot of The Walking Dead is stellar television.
You know what? I had a suspicion you'd have this on here, and I would have to agree. It's actually in my honorable mentions.
Did you watch it?
I did watch. I watched the whole first season. I think I watched about
36 episodes first season.
I think I watched either most of or all of the first season, which I did not mind.
It's all Frank Darabont the first two seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, was it first one? I can't remember. He got turfed.
This is a
TV show, despite its ridiculous amount of success, where they just keep getting rid of showrunners because reasons, and then they replace them with someone else who's infinitely worse. And that's just happened time and again.
I hope Frank Darabont has a good deal where he just keeps getting paid.
Oh, I'm sure he gets paid. Because he developed this.
Yeah. You know? So he'd be like, yeah, I'll keep getting, you guys can keep sucking. I can't believe people keep on watching, but there you are.
The first season is excellent TV. But anyway, the first episode is Rick Grimes. He gets shot in a sort of shootout situation, mm-hmm. and then he wakes up and the zombie apocalypse has happened, and he's walking through basically Atlanta, I think it is, mm-hmm. from memory, and I could be wrong on that. But
and it's all happened?
It's all happened, and he's just...
Is he waking up in hospital?
He's gradually coming to terms with the fact that the world's dead around him and the zombies and whatever else, and he comes mm-hmm. across Morgan, who comes back to be a major character, but initially he's just in this episode, and
mm-hmm.
how they help each other survive, and then the very end of the episode, he sort of... Well, maybe then he goes to Atlanta, I forget. Anyway, point being, at the very end of the first episode, he hears Glenn's voice. There's no one else. It's just those two, really, and the dead.
Yeah.
Through this whole thing. And it's so sparse and it's so atmospheric and it's so frightening. The dead are genuinely frightening in this opening episode. Something that eventually the show just completely loses and gives up on.
I do understand, although I'm not a zombie horror thing guy, I understand the idea of, holy shit, everyone, all of civilization is gone.
The dread just
I'm
going to
find a
up.
Horse, I've got to find a gun, yep. I've got to find a, you know.
Again, it just ramps on top of each other, it becomes almost unbearable, and then you got Greg Nicotero's incredible special effects. So
that's right, you did say that, yeah.
Oh, amazing. Always good. It's amazing pilot, it's hats off entertainment. And
it's still on, is it?
It's still going, yeah. We're entering into whatever sub. Look, there's only one more major season and some bonus episodes, some shit left. Thank fuck.
I'm amazed people are still watching it, man.
Yeah, idiots like me.
Nice one. My number two, people, is The Shield.
I would have this on there
because mm-hmm.
because I watched the pilot episode.
I watched almost all of this
and
show.
I saw the death, which marks the end of the episode.
Dude, so...
But I never continue with it. And I don't know why, other than the fact maybe it was 7 or 8 seasons long and I just couldn't commit to
it. I'll be honest with you. It's an odd-toned show. It's not like NYPD Blue. It's harsher than that. It's harsher than that, right? I like NYPD Blue. This is... I mean, look, again, Walton Goggins is kind of where he cut his teeth, I think.
Oh, really? This is where it is.
Yeah, it's where it started. So it starts with... the main nugget dude is Michael Chiklis. Yep. And he's a... I guess a chief in some squad. He is crooked as fuck, and you see that he's crooked. You also then see that he's quite a good father, and he's quite a good family man. And what happens is, through the machinations of the film, you see that he's possibly going to be kind of, you know, you think he's still a good guy. He might do filthy shit, but he's not actually a bad guy. Some guy comes into his team, and he's a squad, and basically the idea is that person might be a bit of a IA, or he might be an informer for his squad. At the very, very, very end of the episode, boom, that guy gets shot, and you just see the gun that shoots him while they're doing a raid in a house. The camera pulls back. It's Michael Chiklis. He's the one who killed his own guy.
That's what I remember.
Yep. And it was, what the fuck, when it happens. So you're like, yeah, and it's really, really good. From then, the character develops into various things, but you now know that he's a bad guy, and you only know it right at the very end. But is he a bad guy? You know, because then that's the whole show, basically. So very, very cool. Worth a look for at least.
Yeah, can't knock that.
I mean, I have just spoiled it for you, but
you've spoiled the pilot. You haven't spoiled the entire show.
The show is good, but your mileage will vary is how much you like this type of thing. It's a little too harsh to not be harsh, to not be enjoyable on some levels. So like that.
All right then.
Right.
My number two is built from the same raw materials as the Shield,
cloth,
I think. Cut from the same cloth. 24.
Dude. Paul is a huge 24 fan. And so was I for a while.
And I watched everything. I've seen every single episode of this show. I've never missed the miniseries or whatever else. You know, Jack Bauer!
It was novel, no doubt.
Well, that's exactly why. This was delayed after 9/11, and it was meant to be out in fall 2001, and it was filmed before that, but it got pushed back.
Really?
Yeah, because they were like, oh, it's too...
Oh, because of the terrorist stuff that was happening at the time was too... Yep.
So the concept of this agent in the middle of counter-terrorist unit, CTU.
Yep, that's right, CTU.
Yeah. Jack Bauer being the central protagonist, and it just starts at midnight, goes midnight to 1 a.m. It's meant to be 12 episodes as the original run. Got picked up for the full 24.
Yep.
Hey, or full season, which
Very
they
cool.
then extend
The idea
to
is so cool.
24. Real time. Real time with split screens. Real time with... So clever with the clock at the end beep, of every...
Beep,
before
beep,
every advert break. And then come back from the adverts and then there it is again. So you're constantly, you know, oriented in terms of time. Just brilliant. Brilliant.
They always say like, Jack Bauer never takes a shit.
Yeah, that was he took a shit during the ad breaks, motherfucker.
There you go. That's right. You know what's cool about this show? It's all about mobile phones. When I was watching the show, he had a palm trio. I had a palm trio. And I was like, hee, cool. And then it is very much about, in its time, mobile technology, which
ring.
Was still shitty.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Blip, blip, blip. Yeah, that's right. I had that on my motherfucking phone for a while.
I had that at one of my offices as well.
Right.
Like, wait, which ring do you want? The 24 one. What do you mean? This one. Jesus, woman.
I made it on my fucking mobile phone. Every time you get a text. So, it was cool. So, yeah, I lied. Look, there's no doubt. And the way this whole season ended was fucking off the chain.
Look, the season itself isn't the most cohesive 24 episodes because they only thought they had 12 episodes and then they introduced Dennis Hopper because they add the second...
Shit, we got to write another whole...
Yeah, another 12 episodes. Yeah. So, don't judge it for that. After that, it does have well thought out all through seasons. It comes a little bit from memory, a little bit like Star Trek, that... The odd number seasons are great and the even number seasons are pretty average.
Yeah.
Except it's the opposite to Star Trek because it's the other way around.
This place did, this show did push it really hard though because like Jack Bauer had to kill innocent people.
Killed innocent
and stuff.
People. He got tortured. He tortured people.
And he would fuck you up as a person. So it's like, they're just pushing the limit here. It was great. I fell out of it before the Almeida stuff. Yeah, I know. And you told me about it. You said you got to watch that bit. So
that season is one of the best. Yeah. When he comes back and he's a baddie. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, okay. And there's a big reveal at the end of this first season that is well.
Huge.
Yeah. Great show. Really enjoyed it. Joel Surnow and Robert Cochran created it, and the pilot and a lot of episodes in the first season were directed by Stephen Hopkins. Bit of a favorite.
Yes, we like this, all the Hopkins.
My number two, 24.
Nice.
All right, Wayne, give us your recap, and then your number one, sir.
Word. The pilots of the following shows are my list. 10, How to Get Away with Murder. 9, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Motherfucking, sorry.
Motherfucking scroll.
Motherfucking scroll. 8, Veep. 7, Heroes. 6, House of Cards. 5, Justified. 4, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. 3, Twin Peaks. 2, The Shield. And my number one is probably your number one, because I actually do think...
Are you sure?
It is.
All right, well, in that case, let me give my 10 through 2. My number 10 is Ozark. 9, True Detective. 8, Flight of the Conchords. 7, Alias. 6, Battlestar Galactica, the prequel Knights. 5, Firefly. 4, Prison Break. 3, The Walking Dead. 2, 24. Wayne believes our shared number one is...
Lost.
Yeah! That's right.
Now, look, let me just say this before you tell me what it's about, okay? The Lost show can fuck itself, all right? It's fucking, it turns to shit, it goes to hell. I think the penultimate and the third last season just lost its way. It was a fucking soap opera, it was shit.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit, right? And the ending still, I find it fucking unsatisfying, and they absolutely just lost their way here, ironically. Now, the first episode, though, when you see... you just start with fucking Jack walking through the forest, bush, whatever, right?
The crash, man. The plane.
But you don't know for like a good while. Where you just see him walking. What's going on here? He obviously looks a bit hurt. He's a bit shaken. What's going on? And finally, it pulls back, and you see, holy shit! This plane just crashed on the beach, you motherfuckers.
The most cinematic pilot in TV. Cool. I would say in TV history.
Very cool.
Still to this day.
Yeah, and does it start with a shot, overhead shot, where it goes down on him, and then like you know,
that I don't remember.
I can't remember, but the fact that the episode keeps flashing back to this spectacular plane crash.
But in my head, I have the vision of the fuselage on the beach.
Yeah.
Fires, people, you know, staggering around everywhere, screaming and yelling,
mm.
Explosions. It's so cinematic.
And because it was the same shot when he finally sees and you see everyone freaking out and he rushes towards it and it turns out he's a doctor.
Yep.
Can you get my bag from the thing? He's fixing people up. He's getting himself sewed up. You see Kate. She's hot. All that sort of thing, right? She's awesome. Evangeline Lilly, by the way. Big fan.
Yeah, lovely. All these characters are introduced during this bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of them will go on to become the major characters of the series.
Yep.
But then this pilot does more than that. It's not just the opening cinematic crash on the beaches of Hawaii and whatever else. It just weaves in this magic. And now we Damon Lindelof, dodgy as fuck in a lot of ways. And as you said, a lot of people aren't satisfied with the ending.
I'm not.
Crafts these incredible characters that you come to really care
about. No, he's definitely got game on some level. He just tends to piss me off with his...
Carlton Cuse as well. Let's give him his due.
Yeah.
And this is directed by J.J. Abrams again. So here's this bloke cutting his teeth before he gets the Star Treks and the Star Warses and all the rest of that shit.
JJ is JJ, man.
And Mission Impossible. Has any dude directed more mega franchise sequels than him?
Not at all. Not even close.
And casts his mate Greg Grunberg, and he's looking like to be a major character and then gets killed by the smoke monster or the monster.
Yeah, in the plane.
Yeah. So part one, part two. This is the only pilot in the history of the world, which is why it was my number one immediately, where I watched it once by myself. And then my partner at the time, I said to her, we need to watch this. This show is going to be a show. And, and she was like, you're right.
At
the end of it was so amazing.
It really was cool. And I remember thinking to myself, because everyone's like, you know, how come Hurley never lost weight? And how come, like, through the show?
Yeah, sure.
I know, stuff like that. But
that's the show, not the pilot.
Exactly. And I think, did you see any smoke monster in the first one?
Yeah, I think so. Towards the end of the second episode with all the branches and shit breaking.
That's right.
And again, Greg Grunberg dies. I'm pretty sure you see something take him out of the cockpit
right.
Of the crash.
The thing. Yeah. And it was really, really cool, I thought. Like, I remember I was also hooked when I saw it. So I'm like, no, I have absolutely. I'm down with it. I remember there was this...
It cost $10 million to make this pilot.
$10 million for a pilot.
At the time, the most expensive pilot of all time.
Really? Yeah. Okay. I remember like through the show, for some reason, they leave the beach and go somewhere else, and it's because they couldn't afford to shoot with that big fuselage on the beach anymore.
Yeah, yep.
So it's cool shit like that, but it still worked. So absolutely. All right, Lost. I agree.
Lost, we agree.
The pilot at least.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad you could get past your hatred of the latter seasons and what you skipped over and all the rest of that.
Absolutely.
All right, wait. Any honorable mentions that we haven't talked about so far?
Yeah, odd one here. I saw this last night just because it was on TV. The pilot to Friends is fucking great.
Okay,
it's fucking great.
Sure.
Right? You still like it. It's still as funny as the rest of them. You got your Dexter. I actually quite like that pilot. Mr. Robot. I thought it was an odd the way they
Mr.
shot
Robot
that.
Did not do
the
it for
show,
me.
The show fell away for me, but like, I got to it the first time. So yeah, you?
All I had was Heroes.
Heroes.
That's
there you
it.
Are.
That's it for me as far as honorable mentions are concerned. And therefore, let's get into it then. Your choices in a segment that ends every episode that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about. Pop 10. Talk about.
kicking off this week's Pop 10 on Twitter with Stephen for the Super Retro Throwback Podcast. WandaVision. Ooh, there they are. The Mandalorian and Breaking Bad.
Mandalorian's fucking great. I should have put that on my list. Breaking Bad. Yeah, not me, man. Yeah, Took a while.
I think we acknowledged. Tim Cormack said, Airwolf, crime-fighting pilot. Wings, comedy pilot. The Flying Doctors, medical pilot.
What?
I feel like you might be trolling us there, Tim.
Yeah, I think you might be, son.
Mario in the Bar on Twitter said, I only have one, the Wonder Years. The pilot played right after the Super Bowl in 1988, and I was instantly hooked. From Kevin, Paul, and Winnie, it took place in the 60s, but hit the same issues I was experiencing in junior high as well. Still my favorite.
Nice.
Nerd Lantern of Sector 2814 said, Orange is the New Black, Torchwood, and the Boondocks. The last one I don't even know about.
I know of all three of them, but I haven't seen any of them.
Gidget Vonnaroo from the Retro Cinema Podcast said, Breaking Bad had us by the Ghoulies and never let go. Well, apparently had you by the Ghoulies, Gidget.
Which is impressive.
Less so Wayne and I. Game of Thrones, damn that final season. Sure, but we're not talking about the pilot. And Better Call Saul was her third.
Man, I fucking tried to get into that show and I couldn't swing it.
Didn't work for me either. Word Salad Radio, Joe said, The Newsroom. A lot of people, a lot of love for The Newsroom. Aaron Sorkin, This Is Us and Firefly. Yeah, Joe. Gerald from Two Peas on a Podcast said, American Horror Story. Okay, yeah. Dexter and 6 Feet Under.
Nice.
B Dizzle, Billy Dunham from the We Watch the Thing Podcast again said, The Newsroom. Number two, Arrested Development. Bit of love for that one.
Again, it took me a while to get into that one.
Yeah,
I do
like
agree.
It picked up. Mm. Like, it's one of those, the jokes layer on top of each other and eventually become funny. But number one, Heroes.
Yeah, good one.
So there you are. So Dan Franco had Lost, This Is Us, and Breaking Bad. Nicholas Haskins from Nikolai's Kitchen said, you already know my number one, Paul. Sure do.
What
number three, 24. Number two, The Shield. Number one, Lost.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, that's why you both want that dick. Yeah.
Yeah, we both love the Lost dick.
That dick got lost in your ass.
Nerdivert, a new patron to the show. So thank you, Nerdivert, for your support.
What up, nerd?
Number three, X-Files. Number two, Heroes. Number one, again, Lost.
X-Files, nice one.
John Amento is another patron to the show and a host of the Pilot Comics Podcast. Lost, the pilot was cinematic television before it was a norm. Perfect description. Two, South Park. What is this crudely animated show with foul mouth kids and anal probes? And number three, The Mandalorian. A Star Wars project that delivers in its first hour. Holy shit.
Totally great.
Joy Spinner, previously from the...
Great Mates.
Great Mates and Comic Confidential. Maybe coming back. The latter of those. Number three, West Wing. Even though Paul hates Sorkin's dialogue, this setting is perfect for it. Plus, you get introduced to all the major characters without it feeling at all oversaturated.
Also, Paul is wrong.
Sure. If other than courtrooms, maybe political, politics side of things might be something that have over-stylized
it's
dialogue.
The bomb. It's the bomb.
Hannibal is number two for Troy. Appetit, fucking cinematic beauty. Number one, The Wire. Showed very early on that it was going to be well-written, brilliantly acted, realistic, and amazing television.
Oh, The Wire is still the bomb, no doubt.
Jordy Davidson said, this is also from the Facebook community, said, Sports Night. This show is a little bit of ahead of its time, but for a half-hour comedy pilot, you get a lot of development, and man, it's a lot of fun. And set the tone for a wildly underrated Sorkin show.
Sport Night is the shit, and it's the first one of the first TV sitcoms without a laugh track that I saw, and I was like, I don't know if I'm used to this.
Right.
I was like, yeah, it's like, holy shit, it's weird.
Well, you'll be very pleased with Geordie's number two, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Boom!
I got a screener for the pilot somehow and was so excited for a series that never reaches level again, still underrated in my opinion, but the pilot has so much joy and appreciation.
Agree completely.
For live television. And with a bullet, number one, The Newsroom. Jeff Daniels' diatribe about whether America is the greatest nation in the world makes the rounds periodically, and rightfully so. It's a telling moment in a show that demands attention. Again, this was the high point of a still good show, and man, what a high point.
Nice.
Sam Hurley from the Movie Reviews and 20Qs podcast, good friend, said, number three, Flight of the Conchords. Number two, The Wire. Number one, Black Mirror. If you've seen it, you know exactly what happened.
I have not.
Which was it being bold as fuck, almost cancelable from the start.
Really?
The sheer balls of it takes my number one spot.
Have you seen it?
No, but I think I know what he's referring to.
Okay, cool.
Don't want to spoil it. And the last few here. First of all, from first-time contributor Dylan Nikolovsky. Number three, Prison Break. Yeah. Number two, Lost. And number one, by an absolute landslide, The OC.
Really?
Yeah, I never watched that show. So
I did watch it. Can't remember. Anyway, try gone.
Rob Walters made a really good point, which I think is worth discussion. One thing I will say about the rise in streaming services and their original content, the art of the pilot is gone. I have even seen articles quoting the CEO of Netflix saying they don't believe in pilots. They expect you to watch 3 to 4 episodes before you know if you want to keep watching. I do not like that.
See, that's just Netflix, though. That's the Netflix model. You got Disney+, they're still giving you pilots. Like a pilot that needs you to hang around for next week.
Yeah, they are with WandaVision. They did with The Mandalorian, but I don't know about any other show. I think it's just their really big shows they drop like that.
Agreed. Like, they, yeah, built-in audiences and stuff. But yeah, interesting point.
Jared DeMezza, good mate to show, said number three, Lost. Number two, Lost. Number one, Lost. Honorable mention, Lost.
Three people sucking a Lost dick.
And lastly, to wrap up this week's episode and the Pop 10, the man himself who asked for this topic, Cy Wazow, said, number three, The Cult. I don't know if I've heard that one.
I'm not familiar with
number
that.
Number two, Nowhere Man, I have heard of, but not seen. Uh-huh. And number one, the pilot episode of the Countdown podcast. Thank you, Cy.
Kind.
Lovely of you. And thank you to everyone who got back to us. We're sorry we couldn't get through all the feedback, which was profuse this
voluminous
particular week. We really, truly do appreciate it. Stop opening shit during while I'm speaking.
Sorry, cunt. That'll work.
I don't know. Oh, fine. Yeah, fine. We'll just leave it in. That's episode 304 done in
That's
the can.
That's a show, son.
Thank you so, so much. Yes. A big one. A big episode, actually, in the end. Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 305?
What the fuck should I know? Give me a sec.
You know, A, B, C, D, back E, off. F, G,
you're an asshole.
H, I, J, K, L, M, L, P, Q, R, F,
balls in your face. I'm going to put my balls right in your face. Fuck you. Bitch.
That's all you have to do.
You suck. It still hasn't finished. You're a cunt.
I love it.
That's because you're a
because
bitch.
I downloaded that
you're
particular soundbite knowing you would fuck this up week in and week out.
I know that you're an asshole. How about
I'm
that?
I'm so happy. Next week we're doing the top 10 needle drops.
Word.
Well, Wayne was fucking whole time whinging.
It took a, I was tapping this screen like a motherfucker. It's like I'm using a Samsung over here. Jesus.
So this one comes from Tara Maholic. Mm-hmm. Who just gave the suggestion. I thought it was very fine. So we're going to. Songs are dropped in to enhance a scene in a movie.
A needle drop, they're called,
needle
right?
Needle drop.
Nice.
Right? All so, right. Not score. Wayne, you'll be very pleased.
Good.
Songs.
Yeah, I'm down
with
that.
We'll do best score elements later in
no,
down
we fucking
the
won't.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, we won't. Score this, motherfucker. All right.
All right, Wayne, how do the good listeners get back to us with their feedback on the show?
Google The Countdown Podcast to listen and get with all our socials or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We are on Twitter at The Countdown PC. You can follow us on Podbean, like on the show there as well. That's where we host, and check out the Facebook listener community links in the show notes if you want to get involved in the discussions. And finally, ccradio.com.au for ourselves and some other great Aussie podcasts. That's it for episode 304. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Bitches leave.
Can't believe I haven't used that one before. We'll catch you next time.